This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Charming Hannah, written by Kristen Proby, performed by Moraes Almeida and Patrick Garrett.
Prologue. Brad, 3 years ago. "Would you like another glass of champagne?" I asked Hannah, the tall, red-headed doctor standing next to me. We're at an exclusive party on Whitetail Mountain with the owner of the ski resort and all of my closest friends. "One is enough for me," she says with a smile, showing off her dimples. I can't help but wonder if she has dimples above her ass as well. I've seen her around town since she moved here, taking a position as a doctor, and each time I see her, the lust is swift and hard. She's sexy as fuck, and I want her. But I'm also a gentleman. Seeing her here was an unexpected treat. I pass her a bottle of water and then walk with her out onto the deck, where a fire is going to keep us all warm. The torchlight parade is over and people are beginning to leave, but I stand here with Hannah, leaning on the railing and watching people bustle between the two bars in the ski village. "It's beautiful up here," she murmurs. I nod and sip my bottle of water. "Do you like Cunningham Falls?" "It's paradise," she murmurs, and then smiles up at me. "I know it sounds corny, but that's what I think of it. The mountains, the small town, the people. I couldn't love it more." I feel the same way. But I've lived here all my life, so maybe I'm biased. "How long have you been a cop?" she asks. "Almost 15 years. My dad is the police chief." I shrug. "I never wanted to be anything else."
"Do you think you'll be the police chief after he leaves?"
I shrug again. My application is already in for it, but who knows if I'll get hired. "We'll see." I hook her red hair behind her ear. My sister Jenna walks over to us, her coat wrapped around her shoulders. "I'm ready to head out. Hannah, how about you?" Hannah glances up at me.
"I rode with Jenna. Looks like we're ready to go."
"I can give you a ride," I offer, and Jenna's eyes widen with surprise.
"Oh, you don't have..."
Hannah begins, but Jenna cuts her off. "That's a great idea. I have some work to do this evening anyway, so if Brad can give you a lift, that's perfect. I'll talk to you later." And with that, she waves and leaves Hannah with a stunned smile on her beautiful face. "Looks like you're stuck with me."
"Are you sure you don't mind?"
I shake my head and lead her inside to gather our coats and say our goodbyes to Jacob and Grace, the hosts of the party. Once in my truck, Hannah gets comfortable in the leather passenger seat and sighs. "Are you okay?"
"I'm tired," she confesses. "I was at the hospital all last night, but I didn't want to miss this party. I'm glad I came."
"I am too." I concentrate on the slippery road that winds down the mountain to town. Once we're on the main, better-traveled street, I feel more comfortable. It's been snowing heavily, and the mountain road is always tricky, but about a mile later, we come upon an accident. "Two cars," I mutter, and slow to a stop. I immediately reach for my phone to call it in, and Hannah has leapt from the truck, moving quickly toward the car with the most damage. Thank God it's no one from the party. "Over here!" Hannah calls after I shove my phone in my pocket. She's standing by the driver's side of a small sedan, the door open, and the young woman driver is passed out against the steering wheel. She's unconscious, but she's alive. I don't want to move her until the paramedics get here. I don't know what her injuries are. Will you stay with her while I check the other car?
"No need," someone says from behind us.
"I'm fine. My God, I couldn't stop the car when I went into a full spin."
"It's okay," Hannah says,
turning around and immediately taking her scarf off and pressing it to a bloody gash on the man's forehead.
"Hold this to your head. You have a small laceration there."
"I do?"
"He's in shock,"
she says to me, just as we hear the sirens coming in the distance.
"Paramedics are on the way,"
she says to him and urges him to sit down on the snowbank, holding the scarf to his head. The young woman is coming too, and when she looks around, she starts to cry. "It's okay," I say, and rub my hand up and down her arm soothingly. "You've been in an accident, but help is on the way." The next 10 minutes are a blur as the ambulance arrives. Hannah rattles off a quick report of what happened, and the paramedics load both of the injured drivers inside, then heads to the hospital.
I stay an extra 5 minutes to help the officers on scene, and when Hannah and I are back in my truck, she says, "Take me to the hospital." She doesn't look tired now, and watching her on the scene was amazing. "Are you sure?" "I want to check on them before I go home," she says. "I know I'm an OBGYN, but they're mine now." I nod and pull into the emergency bay behind the ambulance. Hannah jumps out, and I see her give a quick report to a doctor that walks up, one she appears to know, and it's amazing to see her in her own element. I've never been more turned on in my life. She's stunning, her blue eyes bright, and red hair around her face. She's a force to be reckoned with. After all of her reports are given to the doctors on staff, she blows out a breath and returns to me with a shy smile. "Sorry, I just needed to see this through."
"No need to be sorry. I can't keep myself from dragging my finger down her cheek."
"Are you okay?"
"Of course."
"Hannah!" Both of us turn around at the sound of her name.
A tall doctor, Drake, I believe his name is, rushes to her and cups her face in his hands.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine. I wasn't in the accident."
"Thank God." He pulls her in for a hug, and it's clear that they're close, intimate, together. So while they're hugging and she's telling him all about what happened, I slip out the door to my truck. The sexy doctor isn't available. Fuck.
Chapter 1. Hannah. "I'm going to die. I'm 100% sure that you're not going to die today," my best friend Drake says with a smirk. A freaking smirk. "How do you know?" "I'm a doctor," he says, and reaches over to steal a donut hole from my plate. "I went to school for a really long time so I could tell hypochondriacs like you that you aren't dying." I narrow my eyes and watch him, sitting all smug-like across from me. We're at our favorite cafe in town, Drips and Sips, sitting outside for the first time this summer, now that the weather is finally nice enough to allow it. It's a breezy 70 degrees, yet there is still some snow clinging to life at the top of the ski mountain that's directly in my view. It doesn't suck to live here. You can't tell just by looking at me that I'm not dying. "Okay," he says, and takes a big bite of his scone. "Why do you think you're dying?" "My low back has been killing me," I reply. "I have twinges in the ovary area. I'm pretty sure I must have ovarian cancer."
"Or you have a backache and you're ovulating," he replies,
and I want to slap him for being so flippant about it all. "Drake!"
"Hannah Banana, I love you more than you'll ever know, but I'm going to say this to you again, and it probably won't be the last time. You're an amazing doctor, but you never should have gone to medical school. You know too much. A twinge here and there isn't cancer." I try to speak, but he holds a finger up and keeps talking. "It isn't. You're a healthy 35-year-old woman with a great career, ridiculously attractive friends, and you make enough money to buy yourself a pretty condo pretty much anywhere in the world. Stop buying trouble with the whole dying thing." "You're not that attractive," I reply, and fidget with the silverware on the tabletop, trying not to sulk. "Yes, I am," he says, and flashes his annoyingly perfect teeth at me. "I have been on my feet a lot lately," I concede, and pop a donut hole in my mouth. "Lots of babies decided to show up this week."
"There you go," he says. "Not cancer."
I sigh and nod, feeling stupid. Why do I do this to myself?
"Because you've seen firsthand what illness can do. It's scary.
Also, being a doctor means that we're confronted with our mortality all the time."
"True."
"I don't think this is unusual."
"It's not.
So I'm not crazy."
"I didn't say that," he replies with a grin.
And I finally laugh. "You're supposed to be my best friend and make me feel better." I kick out with my foot, connecting with his shin.
"Ouch!"
He laughs and rubs his shin.
"You're a violent woman, Hannah."
"Yeah, well, you can take it." Suddenly, Drake's phone begins to ring.
"It's the hospital," he says grimly. "This is Dr. Merritt."
He listens quietly for a moment, then tosses his napkin on the table,
and I know our breakfast is over. I'll be there in 10. He ends the call. Gotta run. Appendectomy. Good luck. He reaches for his wallet, but I shake my head. Go. I've got this. You get it next time. Thanks. He smiles, but his head is already in the surgery. He jogs over to his brand new Land Rover and speeds away, leaving me here in downtown Cunningham Falls to enjoy the morning sunshine and to eavesdrop on the couple who just sat down at the table next to ours. It's not going well. I can't believe you're doing this in public, the brunette woman says with tears in her voice. At least it wasn't by text, the man replies. And I frown, then hide my face behind my almost empty coffee mug. What a jerk. So, why now? I thought it was going well. There's a long pause, and then the douchebag replies with, I'm going to be brutally honest here. The sex just isn't doing it for me. We haven't even had sex yet, she hisses, and he has the audacity to simply nod. Exactly. You said you understood when I told you that I wanted to get to know you better first. Yeah, I thought you meant that you had a stupid 3-date rule or something. But it's been a month, Penny, and nada. I'm relieved I didn't have sex with you, and I regret the blowjob. That was a delightful evening, he says with a wink, and I silently will the woman to punch him in the throat. But she does something so much better. She stands and says in the loudest voice possible without shouting, No, Nick, your limp dick issue isn't normal. You should see someone about that. Not to mention you couldn't find a woman's G-spot with GPS and written instructions. You should probably see someone about that, too. Your inability to please a woman is embarrassing, and I need a real man in my life. With that, she turns and stomps away, chin up, not a tear in sight. And I can't help but stand and give her a slow clap, then turn and glare at Mr. Douche Nozzle. He's not smirking now, is he? He curses and rushes away in the opposite direction. And I sit back with what's left of my coffee, ready to enjoy the last few moments before I have to go to the office. I tip my face back to soak in some sunshine and revel in the mountain views. The fact that the snow is still holding on at the top is surprising for this late in the year. It was a particularly snowy winter, and by the time it started to melt, I'd seriously questioned whether I made the right choice in accepting the position here 5 years ago. I'd originally wanted to settle in a city, delivering a dozen babies a day. I love my job, and after putting in my time at big city offices, I didn't know if that was for me either. I want to develop a working relationship with my patients, not just shuffle them through the office, one after the other, as fast as I can. When Drake told me there was a position open here, I brushed it off, still not convinced that this was for me. I'd been here to visit, and while it's beautiful, I didn't think small-town life was the answer. I'd left that behind when I was 18 and finally able to escape the home life from hell for college. A full-ride scholarship for the first 4 years, followed by a mountain of loans that I've thankfully been able to pay down quickly. I don't owe anyone anything, and I earned everything that I now have. But Cunningham Falls, Montana is nothing like Wamego, Kansas. There are mountains here, fewer bugs, more people, and that's saying a lot, given that Cunningham Falls has fewer than 10,000 full-time residents. This is also the biggest and bluest sky I've ever seen, when it isn't winter, anyway. And most importantly, there is no Randall Malone here. No, I ran far from that man and his liquor, his self-destruction. No child should bear the burden of an alcoholic father. I don't know if he's dead yet. Part of me hopes so. I could do a search. With social media and Google being what it is, it probably wouldn't be hard to find out. But I haven't looked, because honestly, it doesn't matter. He's not even a spot in the rearview mirror anymore. Hello, Hannah. I turn and shield my eyes from the sun, delighted to see Lauren Cunningham. Actually, Lauren Sullivan, now that she's married to Ty. She rests her hand on her gently rounded belly and grins. Hi, Lauren. Wanna have a seat? Are you alone? She asks, and sits in the chair that Drake just vacated. Drake had to run off to surgery. I thought I'd enjoy the sunshine for a minute.
It's beautiful today, she says with a grin. It's about time summer showed up. How are you feeling?
Great.
She pats her belly again. I had no idea that pregnancies could be so different. This isn't anything at all like my first. They say no two babies come into this world in the same way. And from what I hear, that's the truth. She nods and tips her head back so the sun beats on her face.
I'm on my way to see Ty. I thought I'd take him an early lunch.
That's romantic. She grins. And a great excuse to procrastinate. I'm supposed to be writing. It'll still be there later. And my editor will be happy to remind me.
Her name is called inside and she stands.
That's me. Enjoy your sunshine, Hannah. I'll see you next week.
Have a great day.
She leaves, and I check my phone for the time. I need to get to the office. My appointments for the day started late, which I like, because sleeping in is my jam. Most babies think it's hilarious to make their grand entrance in the middle of the night, so I take as many mornings as I can off. I also agreed to go to a party this evening for some leggings that are supposed to be the most comfortable thing in the world. I have no idea why I have to go to a party to buy them, like Tupperware, instead of just buying them in a store, but nevertheless, I agreed to go. I'm regretting that now. If it makes me a bad person to secretly hope and pray that someone, anyone, goes into labor so I don't have to go to that party, well, then I guess I'm a bad person. I toss my trash in the garbage and get in my car, already thinking about my first appointment. I back out of my parking space, and bam, I'm rear-ended. I lay my forehead on the steering wheel. I don't have time for this. I wasted all of my extra time drinking coffee with Drake and basking in the sunshine. I whip my seatbelt off and jump out of my car, ready to survey the damage. And stepping out of his red truck is Brad Hull. Tall, broad, soft-spoken Brad Hull, who also happens to be a cop in Cunningham Falls. Not just any cop. No. He is the newly appointed chief of police, and sexier than just about any man I've ever seen. And trust me when I say, I've seen a lot of men, not necessarily intimately, but I've seen them just the same.
Are you okay?
He asks. I'm fine. You must not have been going very fast. His lips twitch, making me wonder what's so funny.
I was stopped dead, he replies. You ran into me.
No, I didn't. I prop my hands on my hips and do my best to glare at him. It helps that the sunshine is so bright.
You did.
I frown and look at our vehicles, relieved to see that there's no damage. I definitely didn't run into you. I looked in my mirror and no one was there. He nods twice.
Or, I was there, but you were thinking of other things.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, ma'am, he says immediately. I'm not on duty, and there's no damage. But I am not lying either when I say that I was not moving when you hit me.
I narrow my eyes and take a long, deep breath. Are you going to handcuff me? His eyebrows climb in surprise, and I can't help but laugh. I don't mean like that.
Well, that's too bad.
I laugh again and brush my hair over my shoulder. Am I in trouble?
No.
I'm not going to be arrested?
No, ma'am.
I nod. Great. I have to get to work.
We should exchange numbers,
he says with a smile.
That's the customary thing to do when you're in an accident.
We weren't... I shake my head. Fine. I reach in my car and grab a card out of my purse. Here's my number. Let me know if I need to cover any damage done to your truck.
Will do, he says. Drive safely.
I wrinkle my nose at him and climb back in the car, late for my first appointment. Starting the day already behind doesn't bode well. Just as I pull in the parking lot of my practice, my phone pings with a text.
We should have dinner tonight to discuss our accident.
I laugh out loud as I reply. I already have plans tonight. As I reach for the door, it pings again.
Tomorrow night, then.
You can't say no. I'm the law. I bite my lip, thinking it over, and decide what the hell. Fine, but you're buying me dinner. Deal.
Not one baby in this whole town decided to save me from the leggings party this evening, which means that rather than go home and change into something comfy so I can binge-watch a whole season of Scandal on Netflix, I'm sitting in my dear friend Grace's living room, watching other women I don't know browse through racks and racks of not just leggings, but also tops, dresses, and kimonos as well. I'm standing in the corner with a Coke in my hand, chatting with Grace. This house still makes my jaw drop, I inform her as I stare up at her cathedral ceiling. Grace and her new husband, Jacob, live in a multi-million-dollar home on the lake, complete with boathouse and slip. Jacob is a real estate mogul from England who happened to purchase the ski resort, along with several local restaurants, in the past few years. But the most important thing is, no matter how much money Jacob has, he makes my friend ridiculously happy. It's pretty, she says with a nod. I told Jacob that I didn't need anything this fancy, but he says it's an investment, and he likes to give me nice things. Well, no one can fault him for that. I clink my glass to hers and then stare at all of the clothes in this room. Have you worn any of this before? I have lots of leggings, she says with a nod. They're super soft and I like to wear them around the house. But I haven't worn any of the other things. I just wanted to give Penny a chance to grow her business a bit. Penny? I scan the room. And sure enough, there she is. The woman who got dumped and then castrated the moron with words. Is that her? It is. Do you know her? I shake my head and tell her about this morning outside of Drips and Sips. Oh, that sucks. Grace said with a grimace. She really liked him. How do you know her? She's a teacher at the school. I nod. Grace teaches at the local middle school. Well, she handled herself very well. Sounds like her. She's smart. Grace gets pulled away to mingle with the other women. I recognize Kara King and her best friend Jillian King, who married brothers about 3 years ago. I've met them before, but I wouldn't say we're close friends. In fact, aside from Grace, Drake, and my cousin Abby, I wouldn't say I'm close friends with anyone, and I'm not sure if that's entirely normal or healthy. Why are you all by yourself over here? Jenna Hall, Brad's younger sister, asks. She's smiling as she passes me another Coke. I'm really an observer, I reply with a grateful smile. Thanks for the refill. No wine for you? She asks as Grace joins us again. I don't drink. I'm pretty much always on call unless I'm on vacation, so it's best if I stay sober. Wow, Jenna says with a frown. Even with the frown, she's probably the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. With light blonde hair and bright blue eyes, she's a dead ringer for Kristen Bell. I guess it never occurred to me that you're on call 24/7. There are only 4 obstetricians in town, I remind her. And I know that my patients prefer to have me deliver their babies, if at all possible, so I make myself available to them. I'm sure they appreciate that, Grace says with a nod. But you should take some time for yourself, too. I've been nagging you about this for years. I do, I lie. She just lied to you, Grace informs Jenna, who nods in agreement. I do, I insist. Really? Jenna asks. What was the last thing you did just for you? I agreed to have dinner with your brother tomorrow night. I reply before I can stop myself and take a gulp of my soda. Damn it. Seriously? Grace asks and does a little excited jig, then almost falls over. I love Grace like a sister, and one of the things I love most about her is her clumsiness. You don't say, Jenna says with a grin. Good for you. Brad's a nice guy, and I'm not just saying that because I'm biased. You're totally biased, I reply with a laugh. True, but aside from the sister bias, I still think he's a great person.
And he's hot, Grace says with a nod.
Well, I wouldn't say hot, Jenna says, wrinkling her nose.
That's because he's your brother, I reply with a laugh. And I have to side with Grace.
He's a handsome fella.
Where are you going for dinner?
Grace asks.
I have no idea. We didn't get that far. I'm assuming he'll just pick me up and take me somewhere.
How fun, Grace says. A first date with someone new. It's so romantic.
Yeah, unless I choke on something or say the wrong thing, I shrug. It could be a nightmare.
But he's nice. And he offered to buy me dinner, and let's face it, a girl shouldn't pass that up.
Absolutely not, Grace says. Free dinner with a handsome date who just happens to be the new chief of police?
That doesn't suck at all.
You'll have fun, Jenna agrees. Despite being a cop, my brother is pretty laid back. There's no pressure.
Well, that's good because I haven't been on a date in...
I check my watch. About a year and a half. That's a long time, Jenna says with wide eyes. Don't you miss having sex?
Who has time? I ask with a laugh.
Trust me, when it comes to sex, you make time. Grace replies and pats my shoulder as if in sympathy. And as hot as Brad is, the sex is going to be off the charts.
No, Jenna says, wrinkling her nose again. Don't ever say those words again.
He's your brother, not a eunuch, Grace reminds her.
I'm not having sex with him on the first date.
Probably.
Good, Jenna says. Make him work for it. Too many women throw themselves at him because he is a cop, and, rumor has it, hot.
Super hot, Grace adds with a nod.
I'm not throwing myself at him. Why would anyone do that?
Exactly, Jenna agrees.
I mean, women need to have more self-respect. Like any guy who has his shit together is going to want to be with someone who throws themselves at them.
Guys like a chase, Grace adds. It's good that you're not going to be slutty.
I can't help but cover my mouth and giggle. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I'm ecstatic that we're having this conversation, Grace says.
You deserve to do something just for you. And going on a date is a huge step for you.
Are you a virgin? Jenna asks. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a thread of mortification in her voice.
No, I laugh again. Definitely not a virgin. I just don't have time to date.
People around here keep having babies. I get it, Jenna says. I don't date much either.
Are you still running the bed and breakfast on the mountain?
I ask, relieved that the conversation has diverted from me. I still own it, but I hired a manager to run it for me. I purchased a few other vacation rentals last year that I take care of, and I have a new secret project.
Spill it, Grace says.
Well, keep this between us. Brad, Max, and I have bought some property up near the ski resort and we're building tree houses to use as vacation rentals.
Will renters have to bring sleeping bags and know the password to get in? Grace asks.
No, not that kind of tree house, Jenna says with a smile. High-end, super fancy tree houses. There will be three of them, and I'm hoping to start renting them out this winter.
Well, I can't wait to see this, I say.
We will host a viewing party when they're done and invite our friends to come see them before we open them up for rentals.
So cool, Grace says.
Jacob mentioned to me that he sold a large lot just off of one of the ski runs.
That's us, Jenna says. I can't wait to show them off.
Thankfully, the subject turns to work and we trade stories. Grace has hilarious student stories. Jenna has all kinds of tales about horrible renters. And I always have fun tidbits from the babies I've delivered. It's fun to spend time with friends and laugh. I don't remember the last time I did this. And, of course, my phone rings with a call from the hospital. Looks like someone is having a baby tonight after all.
Do you have to go? Jenna asks.
I do. But thanks for hanging out with me tonight. It was fun.
Here's my number, Jenna says and presses her business card in my hand. Text me and fill me in on your date with my darling brother.
Make it a group text, Grace says with a sassy smile.
I want to hear all about it, too.
If more babies decide to come, I might have to cancel.
Don't cancel, Grace says.
I will punch you in the throat if you do. You need this.
You're quite violent, I reply, and reach for my handbag. Stop threatening to assault me.
Stop threatening to cancel your date with Chief Sexy Pants.
I'm so going to start calling him that, Jenna says with a laugh.
I won't cancel, I say, laughing with them.
I mean, who doesn't want a date with Chief Sexy Pants?
Exactly, Grace says. Chapter 2. Hannah.
I made it out of the office on time, and so far none of my patients are in labor. It looks like the fates have decided that this date is a for sure thing, and I'm actually really excited about it. Brad and I have known each other for a while, and I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I'm attracted to him. Chief Sexy Pants is an accurate name for him. He's tall and broad, with wide shoulders and kind green eyes, and a really, really great ass. I can't believe I'm finally going out with him. All day today, I felt like I was having heart palpitations and giant eagles in my stomach from the nerves. It's not that I'm shy. I'm just out of practice. And I wasn't terribly good at dating before, either. Add that to being out of practice, and only bad things can result from this. I'm standing in the middle of my bedroom, naked, looking around blindly because I don't know what to do next. I pick up my phone and call my cousin, Abby.
Are you ready for your date?
She asks when she answers. I'm naked.
I didn't think you were a first date sex kind of girl, but whatever floats your boat, sweetie.
Funny. I roll my eyes. I don't know what to wear. Abby, I only have clothes that I wear to work, and I haven't done laundry in about 3 weeks, so all of my good underwear are dirty. I can't wear period underwear on a first date.
No. You can't.
So go commando.
That's seriously not sanitary, I reply and frown at the phone.
Why? You're wearing clean pants.
I'm an underwear person, I reply. And all of mine that are clean are ones I wear when it's Shark Week.
Well, you're not planning on letting him see your underwear anyway, right?
True. And if by some miracle our clothes do come off, I'll just have to make sure it's in the dark so he can't see my panties.
I don't think he'll really care about your panties if you're letting him get inside of them, she says reasonably. I step into my panties and then frown at my feet. I haven't had a pedicure.
Does he have a foot fetish?
Jesus, Han, he sounds really pervy.
This is the first date, I remind her. I don't know if he has a foot fetish, but my toes are not polished.
Are you wearing flip-flops?
No, it's still chilly in the evening here. I think I'll wear flats.
Awesome. We've solved the pedicure debacle. What are you wearing?
He didn't say if it was fancy or not.
Do you have a pretty sundress that can be either fancy or casual?
I have work clothes, Abby.
I gave you a red summer dress last year when I was there.
Your ass is smaller than mine, I remind her.
But shuffle through my closet, looking for the dress.
I found it.
Try it on.
I pull it over my head and turn to look in the mirror.
Not bad. This will work. I'll take a denim jacket, and that will dress it down a bit if need be.
Excellent, Abby says. I can hear the smile in her voice. Makeup?
I'm still wearing makeup from work.
Which means you applied it 12 hours ago. You need to freshen it up.
I didn't have time to take a shower, I inform her. I hope there's no blood in my hair.
Oh, God, ew, and you're worried about your period panties? Honey, your priorities might be a little skewed.
I chuckle and freshen up my eye makeup, then run a brush through my red hair and shrug one shoulder.
No blood. Thank goodness.
I'm sure you look great, and you'll have so much fun, Hannah.
I think so, I murmur. Unless I choke or get food poisoning or something.
Also, I've been having these palpitations today. Maybe I should make an appointment with the cardiologist.
It's called nerves, she says. You're not having a heart attack, Hannah. You're nervous about a first date with a cool guy. It's normal.
But you're not a cardiologist. You don't know.
She takes a deep breath, and I picture her closing her eyes, trying to keep her irritation in check.
I know, I say at last. I always do this, and I'm stupid.
You're not stupid. Take a deep breath.
I breathe in deeply through my nose and let it out through my mouth and feel a little better.
When will he be there?
I checked the time on my phone. 10 minutes.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Take some more deep breaths, drink some water, and look at your schedule for tomorrow.
I frown, thrown by the last one.
Why?
Because you'll be thinking about tomorrow and not worrying about tonight.
You're pretty smart.
She snorts.
I know.
Have fun and text me when you get home because I'll want to hear how it went.
Okay.
I nod, even though she can't see me.
You're right. I'm just going to enjoy myself and not wish that I was at home watching Stranger Things.
Oh my gosh, have you started season 2 yet?
No, I'm only halfway into season 1 because instead of watching it, I'm going on a date tonight.
Well, just wait until you get to season 2. So good.
Season 1 is kind of freaking me out, I admit. I don't like scary things.
It's not that scary. Stick with it. You won't regret it.
And look at that. You only have 7 minutes now.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm going to go look at tomorrow's schedule.
Awesome.
Have fun, Han. I mean it.
I will. Talk to you later.
I hang up the phone and blow out a breath.
There's no need to be nervous.
He's just a man.
A human.
I mean, sure, this human is better looking than most others, and the chemistry I feel when I'm in the same room as him is like nothing I've ever felt before.
But he's still just a man.
I throw the load of laundry I put in the washer this morning into the dryer, flip it on, then walk into the kitchen to rinse a few dishes and put them in the dishwasher. I bring my schedule for tomorrow up on my phone just as the doorbell rings.
Those were a quick 7 minutes, I mutter.
I run my fingers through my hair before opening the door to Brad. He's leaning on the door jamb, a crooked smile on his mouth, and his green eyes are happy. I let myself take him in from head to toe, admiring the gray sweater and dark blue jeans, and the way they showcase his hard, lean body.
Hi,
I say, and step back so he can come inside, ignoring the knowing smile on his lips.
Hello, beautiful.
He replies and passes me a bouquet of pink roses. These are for you.
Oh, how nice.
I bury my nose in them and smile up at him.
Thank you.
I'll put them in water real quick before we go. He nods and follows me into the kitchen.
Your home is nice.
Thanks. I wrinkle my nose at him. I'm not here much, so it doesn't get very dirty. I don't know why I told you that. I fill the vase with cold water and quickly clip the ends of the blooms before fussing over them.
Because it's the truth, he says, and brushes my hair over my shoulder. How are you today?
Nervous, I admit.
That's the truth, too.
No need to be nervous, Hannah.
It's just dinner.
I nod and take a deep breath, then smile up at him.
Okay, I'm ready.
He laughs and takes my hand, then surprises me by raising it to his lips and gently kissing my knuckles.
It's going to be fun.
I know. He watches me for a moment, then, still holding my hand, leads me through the house to the front door. My arm is on fire from the electricity running through it. Jesus, if just the touch of his hand causes this kind of reaction, I can only imagine what would happen if we were naked.
Not that we will be naked tonight.
I grab my jacket and handbag, lock up behind us, and follow him to his truck. Once we're settled and headed down the street, he smiles over at me.
I thought we'd head over to Chow for some Italian, if that works for you.
That's my favorite place, he grins.
Mine too.
It doesn't take long to get anywhere in Cunningham Falls, and before long we're seated at a table in the back corner. When the waitress arrives, she writes her name in crayon on the white paper covering the table.
I'm Natasha, she says with a smile, and I'll be helping you out tonight. Can I offer you some wine or something else to drink?
Just a Coke for me, I reply.
I'll have the same, Brad says.
Natasha nods and bustles away, and I turn my attention to the menu, even though I already know what I want. I never change what I order here.
What looks good? I ask Brad.
and glance up to find him looking at me with heated green eyes.
You look amazing.
I meant the menu.
I know what you meant, he says, and tilts his head to the side, watching me. Let's get this out of the way right now. What is it exactly that makes you nervous about me?
I blink as Natasha places our Cokes in front of us. Are you ready to order?
We need a minute, Brad says without looking away from me.
He reaches out and takes my hand, and the same electricity hits me again, and I bite my lip.
Let's talk about this, Hannah.
I'm not sure what to say.
Is it the cop thing? My height? Have you heard something through the rumor mill?
What would I have heard?
Who knows? He chuckles. It's a small town.
I shrug. Honestly, it's not you that makes me nervous. I'm not intimidated by you in the least.
Excellent.
I guess it's just first date jitters.
Okay, we can work with that.
He winks at me and nods at Natasha as she approaches the table.
I think we can order now.
I'll have the bow tie pasta with Alfredo sauce, chicken, artichoke hearts, and mushrooms. I pass her the menu and smile at Brad.
I'll have the lasagna, he says.
Someone waves at him from across the room and he nods politely. It must be hard for you to be out in public when it's your day off. He tilts his head in surprise.
What makes you say that?
Well, I'm always on call. Babies don't know what office hours are. But you're the chief of police. People know you, and I'm sure they feel like they can approach you to ask questions, complain, what have you, no matter if you're on duty or not.
Sometimes, he says with a nod. I finally had to have my personal cell number changed because I kept getting calls. I have an official cell because I have to be able to be reached any time of day. But I don't need the townspeople to be able to call me whenever they see fit. I am a public servant, but I finally had to set some boundaries.
Good for you, I reply. Setting boundaries isn't easy.
It is when an old lady calls you at 2 in the morning to complain about how bright her street light is. She doesn't like closing her blinds at night.
Oh my.
She wanted me to come out and unscrew the bulb in it so she could get some sleep. I can't help but cover my mouth and laugh.
What did you tell her?
To close her damn blinds, and I gave her the correct department to call the next day. She wasn't happy.
I'm sorry, I say and lean back when our food is delivered. It must be difficult to have a personal life when you're under a microscope.
Not really,
he says with a shrug and salts and peppers his food.
My father was the chief of police for about 20 years. He and my mom had a pretty normal life.
Do they still live here?
Part-time, he says with a nod. They go south in the winter. I can't blame them for that. It was a snowy one this year.
He nods.
Where do your folks live?
My mom died when I was 17. I take a bite of food. I have no idea where my dad is. He's chewing and watching me. Don't apologize. That's the worst.
That's tough, he says, surprising me. Do you mind telling me what happened?
She and my dad were on their way home from a New Year's Eve party, and he hit a tree. Killed her instantly. He was incredibly intoxicated. It was my senior year of high school.
Jesus.
I miss her. She was a good mom, despite being married to an alcoholic. He was sent to prison for third-degree manslaughter, but by the time he got out, I was long gone, in college. I've never seen or spoken to him since that day.
You're quite nonchalant about it.
I did the therapy thing, Brad. I've mourned. I still mourn her because she was wonderful. But he was a piece of shit, and I'm better off without him. I grab a piece of bread slathered in chunks of garlic and take a bite. My aunt and uncle took me in for the rest of my senior year, and they've really become more like parents to me. Their daughter, Abby, has always been one of my best friends. I do have family.
I'm glad, he replies. Family is really important to me.
I nod. I saw Jenna last night.
She told me.
He laughs and shakes his head, also taking a bit of bread.
She called this morning to tell me to be extra nice to you because she likes you.
She's sweet.
She's a meddler.
but she's my only sister, and she tells me that's her job.
And you have a younger brother as well, don't you?
Max, he says with a nod. He's recently moved back to town as well. We're both busy, so I don't see him much. But it's good to have him nearby.
That's how I feel about Drake.
Drake Merritt?
Yes. He's one of my best friends. I met him in medical school.
I thought for a while that he might be your boyfriend. That's why it took me so long to ask you out.
I feel my eyes widen in surprise. 3 years long? Brad, that's a long time, and no, he's never been my boyfriend. He's just a dear friend, and he's the reason I decided to move here.
I'll have to thank him, Brad replies.
You're quite charming. I sit back in my seat, stuffed full of pasta and bread, and cross my arms over my chest.
Just honest.
He finishes his food and wipes his mouth.
So, you have Drake and Grace nearby?
I do. Grace is wonderful, and I still see her all the time despite not being roommates anymore. And Abby and her family come to visit at the holidays. Is there anything else I can bring you? Natasha asks as she comes to clear away our plates. Dessert? I mean, you can't come to Chow and not get the tiramisu, I say, and look to Brad for confirmation.
We should absolutely share the tiramisu, he says with a nod.
Natasha leaves, but another person walks over to talk about the potholes in the street in front of their house, and how their neighbor keeps playing music late into the night. Finally, after 5 minutes, Brad says,
I understand your frustration, Paul. Just give the city a call tomorrow and they'll talk to you about the potholes.
What about the music?
You're always welcome to call the non-emergency line and an officer will come out and talk to them.
Paul grumbles, but walks back to his own table, and Brad reaches around the untouched tiramisu to take my hand.
Sorry about that.
Like I said before, I'm sure that happens all of the time when you're out on dates.
I don't go out on many dates, he says with a smile.
No. He shakes his head and passes me a clean fork, then loads his own fork with the fluffy dessert and offers me the bite. Of course I take it and close my eyes in absolute happiness as the coffee flavor hits my tongue.
So damn good. Hannah, he says, his voice gruff.
I open my eyes and meet his gaze.
You're so damn sexy.
Enjoying dessert is sexy?
When you make those noises and close your eyes? Hell yes.
'Cause I want to make you do those things for purely other carnal reasons.
I swallow hard and set my fork down, licking my lips.
Not tonight.
Excuse me?
I'm not a sex on the first date kind of girl.
I wasn't suggesting it, he says, and takes another bite of dessert. Doesn't make me want it any less.
We finish our meal, Brad pays the bill, and the next thing I know, we're on our way back to my place. It's after 9, but it's still light outside.
I love summer, I say, and roll my window down. I love that it gets dark so late, and the warm weather. I always have the best of intentions to take a week off of work in the summer just to enjoy it, but it never happens.
I love it too.
Do you ski?
I laugh and shake my head.
No, I never have. We don't have mountains in Kansas, and since I've moved here, I've been too busy to ski.
Also, I don't love to be cold.
You live in Montana, sweetheart.
Hey, I can stay inside where it's warm. I do, however, love to hike. I plan to go this weekend, in fact, barring any babies making their debut.
I hike as well. I also love to boat, kayak, and ride my bike.
You're outdoorsy. I turn in my seat so I can watch him as he drives. His jaw is square, his hands big and sure on the wheel. Summers are so short here. I'd rather never go inside.
Mind if I join you on your hike this weekend?
I grin, enjoying the thought of hiking up the mountain with Brad.
Of course.
I was just going to walk to the top of the ski mountain.
That's a 4-mile hike, he says with surprise.
Too far for you? He glances at me, a small smile tugging his lips.
No. Sweetheart, I was wondering if it's too far for you.
Psh,
That's nothing. He pulls up in front of my house, and I'm suddenly sad. I don't want to end the night yet. Do you watch Stranger Things? I ask him.
Yeah, I'm almost done with the first season.
I'm halfway into the first season. If you don't mind rewatching a few episodes, would you like to come in and watch some of it with me? He immediately climbs out of the truck and around to open my door.
I'm in.
I'm not getting naked, I remind him.
So noted.
He locks his truck and follows me to the door.
I also will not be getting naked.
Too bad. I nod. So noted.
Chapter 3. Brad. Her house smells just like her, like cinnamon and vanilla. Her red hair falls in loose curls around her shoulders as she leads me into her living room and cues up the TV, getting the next episode of the show ready. Do you want something to drink? She asks. I have Coke and bottled water. I might even have a Snapple if you want it. Well, water would be great. She nods and hurries out of the room and back again, carrying two bottles of water. She's so full of nervous energy. I want to pin her to the wall and kiss the fuck out of her, just to smooth out the nerves. She passes me the water, and I set it on the coffee table. Take hers from her and set it down as well. Then take her hand in mine and pull her to me. Hannah? Yeah? She looks up at me now. Her big blue eyes wide, she licks her lower lip, and it's almost my undoing. You've got that nervous thing happening again. Uh-oh, she clears her throat, and I draw her closer to me still. I haven't had a man here in a long time. The words are a whisper, and her eyes are pinned to my lips now. Good, I whisper in return, and let my hands glide up her arms to her shoulders. I'm going to kiss you. Okay. I can't help but smile at the absolute eagerness in her voice and the way she boosts herself up on her toes getting ready for me. God, she'd be so fucking responsive beneath me in bed. But that's not for tonight. I push that thought from my brain and tilt my head down to hers, allowing my nose to brush back and forth against hers, enjoying the warmth of her skin close to mine and the way she takes a deep breath, making her chest rise. You're beautiful, I murmur against her lips. So are you, she replies. Her hands are moving over my shoulders and up into my hair, and I can't hold back any longer. I sink down into her, covering her mouth with mine, finally allowing myself to taste her, to soak her in. She's the sweetest thing I've ever seen, and her reaction to me is exactly what I imagined in my dreams. She pushes up further on her toes, trying to get closer to me, gripping the back of my hair tighter in her fists. My hands drift down to her ass and squeeze her firmly. She's pressed against me now. We're breathing heavily, and I have two choices. I either carry her to the bedroom, strip her naked and fuck her into the mattress, or I stop this now because if I wait, I won't be able to stop. And she already set the boundary of no sex tonight. So, no sex it is. Hannah, I murmur and pull back, brushing my fingers through her hair. Her eyes are still closed and she's biting her lip. Open your eyes, sweetheart. Hmm? She complies and then frowns. We're stopping? Oh yeah, I say with a nod, and step away as soon as I'm sure she can stand under her own power. If I don't stop now, I won't want to stop at all. She seems to struggle with this information, but then sighs and nods. Right. Sorry. Slutty Hannah took over there for a second. Don't do that. My voice is sharper than I intended, but the irritation is swift. You're not a slut, Hannah. We're fucking attracted to each other. Jesus, the chemistry has been off the charts every time we're in the same room together since we first met. That's not being promiscuous. You're right again. She pushes her hair back. If you want to go, I understand. Hell no, I want to watch this show. I sit in the middle of her couch, so she has no choice but to sit next to me, and I want to feel you next to me for a few hours. She tilts her head, watching me for a moment, then shrugs and sits next to me after reaching for the remote. Let me check my phone. She pulls the device from her pocket, but there have been no calls. No babies so far tonight,
she says with a grin. I'm not expecting any of my patients to go into labor this week, actually, but you never know. She sets the phone aside and presses play on the show.
Jenna says you got called out last night.
Yeah, it was unexpected, she says, and looks up at me with sad eyes. The baby was stillborn. He was too premature and we couldn't save him.
I'm sorry.
It happens.
I'm sorry just the same, I reply and tug her against me. She fits perfectly in the crook of my shoulder, her head leaning on my chest.
Shall we watch this? She asks.
Let's do it.
She snuggles up to me and we stay here, snuggled up together, as one episode, then another plays.
Finally, she stretches and checks the time on her phone.
I hate to kick you out, but I should get some sleep. I have appointments first thing tomorrow.
I have to be in the office early too, I reply, and stand. But rather than walk to the door, I pull her into my arms, hugging her tightly. I hold her for a long moment, then pull away and smile down at her.
What was that for? She asks.
I needed it. You needed it. I wink and walk toward the front door. When would you like to go for our hike?
Saturday morning, she says. Before it gets crowded up there, I like to hike up and then ride the chairlift down.
How does 9 sound?
Perfect, she says with a nod. It'll be fun.
I think so, too. I take one more long look at her, her blue eyes sleepy, her red hair mussed up now, and am already anticipating being with her on Saturday. Have a good night, Hannah.
You too.
I walk to my truck, start the engine, and head toward home with the windows rolled down and my sunroof open. It's a warm night. There are a million stars in the sky, and I know if I drove up into Glacier National Park just 40 miles from here, I would be able to see the Milky Way. That's something I can take Hannah to see another night. Spending the evening with her was everything I'd hoped it would be. The chemistry is still there like a fucking freight train. It just rolls over us. But more than that, I enjoyed her company. I plan to spend as much time with her as our schedules allow. Once home, I secure my truck in the garage and walk into the house, greeted by my white lab, Sadie. Hey, girl, she whines a bit and presses her face into my hand, then goes directly to the back door needing out. My backyard is fenced for her, so I let her out and walk through the house, double-checking locks and alarms. It's habit. I have to make sure the house and garage are always secure to protect myself from anyone who may be angry and want to take it out on the chief of police. It happens. Sadie scratches at the back door and I let her in. We walk upstairs to the bedroom, and she settles on her bed in the corner, ready for sleep. But despite being tired, I'm restless. I take a long, hot shower, which helps to calm me down. I slip into bed and think of a sexy redhead as I fall to sleep. Come in, I call when there's a knock on my office door. I've been doing paperwork all damn morning, and the distraction is welcome. I'm surprised when it's Max who walks through the door. Sadie immediately jumps up from her bed by my desk to greet him. Hey, gorgeous girl, Max says and kneels to rub her head and give her kisses. Aren't you the prettiest girl? Sadie falls on her back in elation, exposing her belly. You'd think she never gets any attention, I say, and lean back in my chair. Did you come to love on my dog? Yes, and to see what you're up to? Just maintaining law and order, I reply. What are you up to? I have to go back to L.A., he says with a frown. I have some work that needs to be done in person. Max is a highly successful software engineer, so successful that he's sold a few things to Google for a shit ton of money. How long will you be gone? A month, maybe, he says with a sigh, which sucks because this is my favorite time of year here. You don't have to work, I remind him. You have more money than God. Probably not, he says with a laugh. I mean, he's God, and maybe I don't have to work for the money, but I have to work for the sanity. What am I going to do, Brad? Retire at 32? And do what? I don't know. It would drive me nuts, too, I say and offer him a shrug. When do you leave? This afternoon. I just raise an eyebrow, and he cringes.
I know, it's last minute. Jenna's dealing with the treehouse architect. I was supposed to be there for the meeting, but I don't think she needs me. She's awesome at this, and can handle herself.
Agreed, I reply. Did you give her a heads up?
Yeah, and she said she...